Blog Talk Radio.
Today we celebrate three December holiday traditions in our world religion and ethnic practices: Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa. This is a special holiday show from Carol Copeland Thomas. You're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to our program. Happy holidays to all. Welcome to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We are delighted that you are listening to us. We took a little break last week, had a really hectic schedule after returning from our trip to the International Association of Hispanic Meeting Planners the previous week in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Santa Fe. We actually broadcast live 2 weeks ago, so I would encourage you to go to that show and listen to it. There are some great guests. You can learn an awful lot about the industry, learn a lot about what is taking place within the Hispanic community, and also learn about the new designation that I'm now a part of. I'm very excited, and I'm going to be doing my active part of promoting it. It is the Certified Diversity Meeting Professionals designation. It is an officially recognized designation in the hospitality industry and focuses on culture, ethnicity, and different ways to welcome and treat people with hospitality in mind when you are having trade shows or conventions, seminars or conventions within the industry. You can find out more about that at www.iahmp.org. That's www.iahmp.org. We'll be talking more in the coming weeks to come about these various designations and what they mean within respective industries. So I am now an official CDMP, Certified Diversity Meeting Professional, and very proud of it. We're also very delighted because we are anxiously anticipating and working feverishly for our February 2nd Black History Breakfast featuring Juanita Jones Abernathy. She is the widow of Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, the closest associate to Dr. Ralph David, to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the fight for freedom. When I think about so many freedoms that we have, particularly in the African American community, I have to look at women like Juanita Jones Abernathy and the work that she did, the sacrifice that she made with her family, the sacrifices that many women and people from very humble circumstances made to make sure that people could get jobs, could live wherever they wanted to live, do what they wanted to do, say what they wanted to say. It's all the sacrifices of those who were a part of the civil rights era. And the older I grow, the more I realize we have to make these kind of legacy symbolic leaders, we have to bring them to the forefront, because so many of our young people really don't understand how those sacrifices give them what they have today, how those sacrifices and the loss of life and the violence that took place from those who were part of the civil rights era, all of those paved the way for a Barack Obama to be elected president and to run for re-election in 2012, and so many other great accomplishments that have taken place, certainly in the United States, because of leaders and civil rights advocates like Juanita Jones Abernathy. I'm expecting a sellout crowd. We have wonderful sponsors who are signing up left and right. We'll begin to announce the names of the sponsors in January, and you can find out more about the February 2nd breakfast by going to my website, www.msssconnect.com. www.msssconnect.com, and learn more about the February 2nd Black History Breakfast. I'm excited about 2012. I'm excited because we're at the end of the year. We have so much that we have accomplished. Yes, it has been a very difficult year for many people, but we are here standing firm. In December, the almost end of December, we have one more radio program to do next week, And it's all because, thank goodness, thank God, we've made it thus far. Next week's show is probably going to be on Wednesday at the same time. We have a conflict because our Multicultural Symposium Series webinar is going to be held on the 29th, next Thursday, at 1 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to switch the time of the radio program and hold it on Wednesday instead of Thursday. Well, this is a great month because it's a month of convergence. It's a month where many of the ethnic groups come together, rally behind their particular religious practice. We have religious practices that are taking place and being celebrated. We have secular holidays that are being celebrated. Yesterday was actually winter solstice. And way back when, before Christianity and as Judaism was coming to the forefront, there were those groups that celebrated winter solstice, the actual shortest day of the year. It was the year where you brought all your harvest to the forefront, and from a pagan tradition, it was a time of gaiety and festivity and also lights. And so when you look at what we now celebrate as Christmas, some of those pagan ideologies and pagan traditions, like the lights on the Christmas tree, go all the way back to winter solstice. We have winter solstice on December 21st when we look at our calendar that we currently observe. And then 6 months from now, June 21st will be the longest day of the year. That will be summer solstice. And so we obviously flip back and forth between the winter solstice and the summer solstice, and we're celebrating the winter solstice. So that's a pagan tradition, pagan holiday, but there are very important religious practices and beliefs that go hand in hand with Judaism and Christianity. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll bring on one or two guests that actually traveled to Israel. Friends of mine who were part of my church group went to Israel about 2 or 3 weeks ago, had a marvelous time in November, and I'd love for them to come on the show and give their observations and talk about it. There are lots of pilgrimage trips now that are going to Israel and parts of the Middle East for religious purposes, because that's where the cradle of religion really stands. When you look at Israel and you look at the three religious traditions that came out of that particular region, Christianity, Judaism, obviously Christianity, and Islam also came out of that that particular region with the Middle East. It's amazing the dynamics, the history, the culture that goes on there. But we start off first talking about Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday that commemorates the rededication of the Holy Temple at the time of the Maccabean Revolt around the 2nd century BCE. That's the century before the birth of Christ. And Hanukkah this year rotates. It always looks at the Jewish calendar. It started on Tuesday evening, December 20th, 2011, and it ends on the evening of Wednesday, December 28th, 2011. Now, I'm not Jewish, but I believe that this is not the highest of high Jewish customs and religions, but it certainly is a very important holiday. In Hebrew, the word Hanukkah means dedication. The name reminds us of this holiday that commemorates the rededication of the Holy Temple, as I've just mentioned, in Jerusalem, following the Jewish victory over the Syrian Greeks in, again, around the 2nd century, 165 before the Christian era, before Christ. And the story goes like this. In 168, now remember, the calendars, the time goes down. So if it's 200 going from, you go sort of all the way down to zero. So around 168 BCE, the Jewish temple was seized by the Syrian Greek soldiers and dedicated to the worship of the god Zeus. Because, again, during that time, there were lots of religions being practiced, and the religion of having many gods in the forefront of the Roman customs and the Greek customs was practiced, and Jews were persecuted because they only celebrated and practiced one God, and in the midst of other cultural groups that actually celebrated the practice of many gods. This upset the Jewish people, but many were afraid to fight back because of fear of reprisal. Then in 167 BCE, that was a year later, the Syrian Greek emperor, Antiochus, I believe, made the observance of Judaism an offense punishable by death. He also ordered all Jews to worship Greek gods. So again, you have this religious conflict that went on during that time. Jewish resistance began in the village of Modlin near Jerusalem, and Greek soldiers forcibly gathered the Jewish villages and told them to bow down to an idol, then eat the flesh of a pig, which are just absolutely forbidden in Jewish culture. This continued to go on, and one thing led to another. When another villager stepped forward and offered to cooperate on Matthias's behalf, the high priest became outraged. He drew his sword and killed the villager, then turned on the Greek officer and killed him too. His five sons and other villagers then attacked the remaining soldiers, killing all of them. So obviously you have all-out warfare at that point in time. Matthias, and I hope I am pronouncing that name correctly, and his family went into hiding in the mountains where other Jews wished to fight against the Greeks and who joined them. Eventually, they succeeded in retaking their lands from the Greeks. These rebels became known as the Maccabees. Once the Maccabees had regained control and then returned to the temple in Jerusalem, by that time, it had been spiritually defiled and was being used for the worship of foreign gods and also by practices such as sacrificing swine. Again, Jewish people do not eat pigs. They don't eat anything from the pigs that is against their religion. Jewish troops were detained to purify the temple by burning ritual oil in the temple's menorah for 8 days. But to their dismay, they discovered that they only had 1 day's worth of oil left in the temple. They lit the menorah anyway, and to their surprise, the small amount of oil lasted a full 8 days. This is the miracle of the Hanukkah oil that is celebrated every day when Jews light a special menorah known as the Hanukkah for 8 days. One candle is lit on the first night of Hanukkah, which again was this past Tuesday night, two on the second, and so on until 8 candles are lit. And so that is the history of Hanukkah. The Maccabeans were extremely brave fighters and warriors. The oil that was being used to purify the temple that they thought was only going to last one night and actually lasted 8 nights. So what I'd like to do right now for fun, I want to break it up and play some music. There are lots of traditions with Hanukkah. There's the dreidel, spinning of the dreidel, popular Hanukkah game, spinning of the dreidel, which is a four-sided top which with Hebrew letters written on each side. And there's also the eating of certain foods. Because Hanukkah celebrates the miracle of oil, it is tradition to eat fried foods such as latkes during the holiday. Latkes are pancakes made out of potatoes and onions, which are fried in the oil and then served with applesauce. That sounds really, really good. So I'd like to play a song that was called the Hanukkah Song. It was actually not written by a Jewish person. It was written by a Mormon, believe it or not, Senator Orrin Hatch, who is our senator from Utah. He wrote the song some time ago in tribute to the Jewish people. So I hope you enjoy it. It's called the Hanukkah Song.
The festival of life. In Jerusalem, the oil burned bright. They lit the menorah in that holy place. What a miracle to last 8 days. 8 days of holiday.
led the way through the darkest night they prayed. Seeking religious freedom, did more than just survive. They defeated a mighty empire, free to believe just the way they wanted to. It made history.
There you have it, the Hanukkah song that was written by Senator Orrin Hatch. I would encourage you to go to YouTube or just put Hanukkah song in your browser and your Google search or your other searches that you're doing, and there are many, many songs that are out there. That's just one of many celebrating this wonderful time of year. So on behalf of myself, those members of the Multicultural Symposium Series, we wish the very best. Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends who are celebrating this wonderful, victorious, and miraculous time period between now and next week, 8-day celebration. We move on, and I'm going to talk first about Kwanzaa, and I'm going to end up with my holiday, Christmas. Talk first about Kwanzaa, because Kwanzaa is a non-religious holiday. Anybody can really celebrate Kwanzaa. You don't have to be a black person to celebrate it. You can be anybody. It is a wonderful, spirit-filled commemoration that takes place between Christmas and the New Year. So it is a 6-day holiday. Kwanzaa is an African-American, Pan-African holiday which celebrates family, community, and culture. It is typically celebrated the day after Christmas, the 26th of December, through January 1st, and its origins are in the first harvest celebrations of Africa, from which it takes its name. Kwanzaa is part of the Swahili tradition. And it was started by Dr. Moringa. I had his name, and I've actually been to his center and his office in California, Dr. Malanga Karanga, who is a professor of Africana studies at California State University. I've seen his writings and his teachings, and he actually started this in 1966 as a way to bring black people together to again, celebrate their rich heritage, their love for family and culture. And it is typically commemorated and structured on 7 different principles, which I'll read off to you in just a few minutes. The first fruits celebrated are recorded in African history as far back as ancient Egypt and Nubia, and appear in ancient and modern times and other classical African celebrations. And these celebrations are also found in ancient and modern times among societies as large as empires, such as the Zulus or other kingdoms in Swaziland, or smaller societies such as the Matabele, the Tonga, or the Luvdu, or others in southeastern Africa. Kwanzaa builds on the 5 fundamental activities of continental African first fruit celebrations: in gathering, reverence, commemoration, recommitment, and celebration. Kwanzaa then is a time of ingathering of the people to reaffirm the bonds between them, and also is a time of commemoration of the past in pursuit of its lessons and in honor of its model of human experience or ancestors. And it's a time for celebration of the good of life, and of the existence itself, the good of family, community, and culture, the good of the awesome and the ordinary, in a word, the good of the divine, the natural, and the social. So anybody can really celebrate Kwanzaa. I would encourage you to go to the official Kwanzaa website. You can find out a lot more of how you can celebrate it, how you can bring this tradition into your forefront, into your family group. And you can go to www.officialkwanzaa.org. officialkwanzaa.org. Now, these seven principles, every day of Kwanzaa represents a particular day, and there are rituals and traditions and food groups and candles as well that are used. The first one is unity. I'm not going to actually give the Swahili names, but the seven communal African values are umoja, which is unity. I sort of slipped and did that. Second one is self-determination. The third one is collective work and responsibility. The fourth is cooperative economics. The fifth is purpose. The sixth, Kumba, is creativity. And the seventh is Imani, which means faith. And it's a wonderful opportunity for families, for groups all over the United States. They now have Kwanzaa cards, and people come together within community groups and celebrate that wonderful way of sort of reflecting on our family, our traditions, and our cultures, and most importantly, our oneness. So between the 26th of December and the 1st of January, Kwanzaa is celebrated. Well, I celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. It is really not known when the Jesus Christ was born, but he certainly was born in a manger in Bethlehem, in that very sleepy town where Joseph took his virgin wife. There was a census. He had to be a part of that census, and she was obviously pregnant and went into labor, and the baby was born in a stable. Very humble beginnings, but that birth led to the beginning of Christianity and the love of people and the sacrifices made by first Jesus, and then as he grew, the miracles that came about as a result of being with him and being in his group and celebrating his God and to practice the beliefs and traditions of his God. There are two major holidays in the Christian faith. Christmas, which we now celebrate in December. Again, Jesus could have been born in the spring. We don't know when he was born, but the holiday has been sort of positioned at the end of the year, bringing in a new year, and is celebrated thus all over the world. The second holiday is Easter, when Jesus was crucified at the age of 33 and then was resurrected, rose, and to be with his Father. So that is the second major holiday. Without Easter, without Christmas, you don't have Christianity. So those are the two major holidays. Everything has gotten lost in the shuffle because we spend so much time with Christmas trees and Santa Claus and all the toys and all the trappings and the food and everything. But this holiday, Christmas, has everything to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and love into the world, being born of a virgin, a young 14-year-old lady, young lady, whose husband dutifully and reluctantly married her, even though they had not consummated their marriage by the time she became pregnant, by the Holy Spirit, as we believe it in Christianity, and stayed married to her. She had other children, but certainly her firstborn, Jesus, is the one that is so important in the eyes of Christians. And there are just so many wonderful songs that have been used, and I'm going to actually play one now, "O Come All Ye Faithful" by Mariah Carey, that I think is a beautiful rendition. It also gives a little bit of the hallelujah chorus in between. So I hope you'll enjoy this as you think about the birth of that young baby boy in that stable and what it must have been like being breathed over by animals, keeping them warm, and then ultimately visited by three wise men some 5 or 6 days later. This is "O Come All Ye Faithful" by Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey. I hope that each and every one of you will enjoy this coming weekend, whether you are Jew, whether you are Christian, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Baha'i, whether you are Hindu, whether you are a non-believer. I just hope that there is some aspect of December, whether it is in Kwanzaa, whether it's in Hanukkah, whether it's in Christmas, some way where you can reach out to others, where you can love one another, and you can say to each other, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Life. We hope that you will enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much for being listeners of my radio program, and we hope that you will enjoy your weekend, your tradition. We'll see you back here next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Merry Christmas.